The first scripture reading is found in 1 Timothy, the first chapter, and we read verses 12 through 17. The Apostle Paul is speaking. I thank him who has given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because he judged me faithful, appointing me to his service. Though formerly I was a blasphemer, persecutor, and insolent opponent, but I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief. The grace of our Lord flowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But I received mercy for this reason, that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life. To the King of ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Your word, O Lord, is a lamp unto my feet. Our gospel reading is from the gospel according to St. Luke, the 23rd chapter, and we begin reading at verse 39. One of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us. The other rebuked him, saying, Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. And he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And he said to him, Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Your word, O Lord, is a lamp unto my feet. Grace, mercy, and a peace be to you from God our Heavenly Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. Our text is based on the words of the thief on the cross. As he says, we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. This man has done nothing wrong. And he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And he said to him, truly I say to you today, you will be with me in paradise. This is our text. There is nothing wrong with taking a bit of joy in what God can accomplish through what you do. Now, I've worded that very carefully. All good things come from God. Of ourselves, we can accomplish nothing. But again, if you take joy in what God was able to accomplish through you, that's a good thing. But sinful human pride is not that. Pride is recognizing what you can accomplish, thinking that you're something when you are nothing without God. And unfortunately, sinful human pride is dangerous to our life itself. Now, I know that it's not politically correct these days to talk about differences between genders. But God really doesn't pay any attention to that. And in point of fact, we are different. And one of the sad differences between men and women shows up in the statistics about those who take their own life. Interestingly, and it doesn't matter what culture you are in, all over the world, regardless of culture, the female gender attempts to take their lives at a rate 2 to 3, sometimes 4 times as much as men do. Just a fact. But the really sad truth is that while they attempt suicide far more frequently than men do, men actually accomplish it at a rate 3 to 5 times, depending upon the culture you're in, more than women. What accounts for that difference? My guess is pride. Not the joy in celebrating what God can accomplish through you. But that old sinful nature, saying, I can do this myself. I don't need anybody's help. It seems that men are stricken with that element a little bit more. When it comes to pleading for help, saying to yourself, I can't do this on my own. Rather than pleading, a lot of men rather die. I mean, it's just a fact of our human nature. In our text for today, we have two men that are hanging on the cross of Jesus. And if you look at all the gospel accounts and the records of these two individuals, it appears that at the beginning of the crucifixion, they were both, if you will, joining in the crowds, mocking and insulting of Jesus. Why would you do that? If you were hanging on the cross and someone was being crucified next to you, what pleasure would you derive from insulting him who is suffering along with you? Scripture actually does give us some clues as to why that might have been. Although these are often referred to in English translations as thieves on the cross, crucifixion was not the punishment for, if you will, your run-of-the-mill crook. The actual word that is often translated thief has more of a sense of, well, if you think of a pirateer or a marauder, people that often not only stole, but often stole in the name of some government. We know that just prior to Jesus being crucified, Pilate offered up a man by the name of Barabbas, who was a leader of an insurrection. In all probability, these two thieves on the cross were part of his band. They were arrested in the revolt and receiving, as the one thief pointed out, due reward for their deeds. They were the type of people that thought themselves leaders among men, organizers. And if God doesn't do something about the Roman occupation, we're going to do something about it. Take charge type of people. And no doubt, when Jesus marched into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, people shouting Hosanna to the Son of David, who was a king of Israel. I wouldn't doubt that they looked at Jesus as someone who would support what they're doing. But as Jesus stood before Pilate and was asked, "Are you a king?" told Pilate, "Yes, I am, but my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were not of this world, my servants would fight. My kingdom is not of this world." Again, I say this in all probability. Those two thieves hanging on the cross were mad at Jesus. Rather than helping them lead in a revolt, they saw him probably as a traitor. And so, and again, comparing all the gospel accounts as the crucifixion begins, they join in the mocking, the insults. But something happens in the heart of one of the thieves as he's dying on the cross. He understands the innocence of Jesus. Perhaps he'd heard some of the preaching of Jesus earlier. Perhaps when he sees the compassion of Jesus as they're nailing him to that cross and he cries out, "Father, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing." As he contemplates how Jesus is dying, not with anger in his heart, but with love. At some point, he recognizes Jesus is not just a man, a sinner like all the rest. He comes to recognize this man truly is a king. Not of this sinful world in one sense, but the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Faith is created within his heart. He now understands who he is, as well as who Jesus is. Someone who deserves nothing but what he's getting, crucifixion on a cross. Does he have a right to ask for anything? Certainly not. He learns how to plead. Not asking for something you deserve. Pleading for something you don't deserve. "Jesus, remember me when you come in your kingdom." Up until this time during our Lenten series, we've been talking about things and we're throwing daggers into the heart of Jesus. the insults, the mocking, the weeping. But when Jesus heard this man pleading, for a brief moment, I would contend that Jesus felt joy. For this is what Christ Jesus came to do. He is not a helper of those who can help him themselves. And by the way, most people think that phrase is found in the Bible. God helps those who help themselves. I assure you, it is not found anywhere in Scripture. But he is, in the words of that hymn, "Abide with Me," helper of the helpless, of those who know how to plead. And so when this thief asks him to remember him, though he had no right to ask it, Jesus said to him, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." As Christians, I know our congregation pretty well. I would say all of you here tonight and those of you watching in our congregation know that when it comes to eternal salvation, that we're not saved by what we do, and we're saved only by the grace that our Lord Jesus Christ has given us through our Savior Jesus Christ. But I also recognize that sinful pride exists in all of us, and some a little bit more than others. We like to do it ourselves. And when we can't, we are often resistant to ask for help. And not just women, I've seen women do it plenty too. Throughout my ministry here, on occasion, I've seen women getting close to death, perhaps a cancer that they are afflicted with, still trying to take care of their family all by themselves. People offering to bring over dishes. People even offering to come over and clean. "No, I can do it myself," they say. You know, Christians, when they can really help out one another, I have found, take great joy in that. But in so many ways, we forget that God has not made us to be able to do all things at all times. God created us different, with different gifts. And at different times in our lives, we can't always do what we always used to do. Yes, as good Lutherans, when it comes to eternal salvation, we are quite willing to plead to God that He grant us His grace. But when it comes to our day-to-day living, sometimes we'd rather than die than plead. We'd rather suffer in silence then admit that we can't do it all. Ask somebody for help. Jesus, Remember me when you come into your kingdom. Because that thief on the cross learned to plead, to recognize that he can't establish the true kingdom of God, learned to trust in the kingdom that Jesus came to bring. Because he learned to plead and not try to do it himself, he was with Jesus in paradise that day. And God grant that we also know that it's not going to be by what we do, not by our power or our might, that we will gain our place in heaven. But through that saving and death in Jesus Christ on the cross and in his resurrection, we are saved. We also need to remember in our day-to-day living that what we accomplish is not really our work. It's God's work in and through us. And sometimes God changes the way he wants to work and bring blessings into our lives. And when those times come along where we can't do what we do, let us not be afraid to recognize that we are creatures of grace, not of works. And with the thief on the cross, learn to plead, to ask for help. We can no longer do for ourselves. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which indeed surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.